I just wanted to show that there was a great article in the Kenosha News that you may have seen about the All-American Selections Garden right before the Pollinator Promenade. And really nice coverage. The Master Gardener volunteers are just critical to what we do. And so we spend a lot of time with training of our volunteers and then support of them in all sorts of different ways. So that's why I thought in order to, because we have several new people, I thought it would be kind of, wanted to introduce you a little bit more to some of the projects and some of what we do. So here is some of the things that go on. Now we get lots of requests for us to come and take care of things. So can you come and take care of my garden? Or we really need, you know, wouldn't it be great if somebody put flowers in? And so we do have criteria that were developed with the volunteers on what will be volunteer projects. I'm going to come to this side. First of all, they have to be visible, meaning they have to promote the Master Gardener Volunteer Program in UW Extension. So I didn't take you around, but there is a sign in the front of the All-American Selections Garden that has the logos and everything on it. Must be educational for the public. So our mission is education. Master Gardener volunteers are part of the University of Wisconsin Extension, and so it needs to be educational. The point of the Master Gardener volunteers is not free landscape maintenance. Part of doing educational displays in gardens is landscape maintenance, but that's not the point of the program. Benefit the general public. So usually we define this as it has to be working with a nonprofit community partner. So we do get calls where, you know, we can't take care of our yard anymore. Can't the Master Gardeners come and take care of it? No, I'm sorry. Must have Master Gardeners that are interested in doing it to be a coordinator and want to actually work on that project. So over the years, we've had times where we've had to turn projects down because they met the other criteria, but we couldn't get a Master Gardener that was interested. Or we had a few years ago, it wasn't in Kenosha County, it was in Racine County, and I should kind of remind you that we have a two-county program. The Master Gardeners work jointly in both Racine and Kenosha counties. But there was some issues with the community partner, and the Master Gardener said, no, we don't want to work with this partner anymore, and so it was no longer a Master Gardener project. And they went on to other things and did great work. And then the last one is we ask for an annual report from the Master Gardeners, and it's mostly because so we know who is out and going around, and that's also where I get some, at least part of the photos that you're going to see coming up are from last year's project. So one of our long-term ones are plant diagnostics. The original reason for the Master Gardener program was to help horticulture and agriculture educators answer home gardening questions. And so the program was created in the 1970s in order to do that. And it's still one of the cores of our programs. Our Master Gardener volunteer, this was the Master Gardener volunteer that was here this morning. And they did, they had 9 calls this morning, so it was a very busy morning. I will also tell you, I've been doing this 25 years now. The calls, the number is going down, but they are much more difficult. People look up the easy answers on the internet now. So when we get calls, or when the Master Gardener volunteers get calls, it's stuff that people either can't find on the internet, or they're confused by what they find on the internet, they're finding conflicting information. And so it tends to be things that they have to go spend a lot more time, individual time with each caller, and try to find out a lot more information before they can help to start to answer it. We also have, for many years, had a booth down at Harbor Market, And they're there on the second and fourth Saturdays from May, late mid-May until mid-September. Same type of thing, answering gardening questions and then also handing out all sorts of extension information. We have several projects where it's working with or teaching youth. One of them is the Botany in the Classroom project, and it's a two-county project in Kenosha County. Botany in the Classroom is offered at Bowes Elementary, at Brighton Elementary, and at Paris. And the Master Gardener volunteers, on the teacher's request, go in and they have a set lesson, and they do things like terrariums and other kinds of things and work with the kids in the classroom. So it's kind of a one or two time kind of thing that they get done. The kids really like it. It's usually third graders, I believe, they work with. Curtis Strange School Garden. Curtis Strange is a great example of how things can change over time. So the principal contacted me about 5 years ago, asking me to work with them in setting up a school garden. They wanted to have something going in the summertime. So, okay, we did that. We worked with the master gardeners. We started going in with them. We actually worked with the nutrition educators because they then did nutrition classes with them. And we had like one, two teachers that were interested and we worked with them in the summertime. Then, you know, the principal was still very supportive, but we changed over teachers and kind of struggled for a couple of years. Well, now we have two or three teachers that are just very involved with it, love it. The kids think it's fabulous. It's a reward for them to go out and work in the gardens. And we have some wonderful Master Gardener volunteers, and not only do they do it in the summertime, and they invite, the kids invite their families in to work in the gardens, and so sometimes there's families in the gardens too, but they also do lessons about once or twice a month in the winter time. Sometimes that doesn't always happen, so we were just talking about, we started out this year working with the Trever Wilmot School Garden, and that one's kind of been off and on for a number of years. But we no longer really have a teacher that's really wants to be involved with it. So we really can't go in and we need that active community partner. So that's going to be one of those that's going to be a retired Master Gardener project. If things change at Trever Wilmot, then that may become a project again. Therapeutic horticulture. So as one of my colleagues likes to say, it's about plants, but it's really not about plants. It's about being out, interacting with nature, feeling good about yourself. So this is one of the clients at the Kenosha Achievement Center. And Tom loves to tell us all about plants and what he's learned. And he loves it when it's something, he's Italian, and if it relates to if it's an herb or something that's often used in Italian cooking, he has to tell us all about it and all the recipe and everything else. That's what therapeutic horticulture is for, in this case. So we do have Master Gardener volunteers that do help out at Kenosha Achievement Center. They have a therapeutic garden behind the Achievement Center. And do all sorts of different things, and they work with the clients there. It's kind of that direct interaction with them and support. A different type of therapeutic horticulture is the hospice meditation garden, and that is in the courtyards or back behind hospice in Pleasant Prairie, and it is a safe place, a beautiful place for families and staff to go and for their clients to look out on this beautiful natural space as they get approach end of life. We always hear wonderful, wonderful things about this. The Master Gardener volunteers that have been there, hospice has given them awards and recognizes them regularly because they appreciate what they're doing. They're usually, this is unusual that there's actually a picture with Master Gardeners in it because they don't like to have their pictures taken in here. And they do have some signage and other kinds of things, but this is a true therapeutic garden. We also have demonstration and teaching gardens, and you just were in one of them. But the Kemper Center Gardens have been a long-time Master Gardener project, probably 30 years. Yeah. That is changing now. The long-time person that was a Master Gardener for many years and kind of guided that project passed away last winter. She was very into annuals and things, which is very high maintenance. So the Master Gardener volunteers, along with the staff at Kemper, are starting to transition that over to more sustainable, lower maintenance types of plants. So you will probably, if you visit Kemper over the next, I think it's probably going to take 5 to 10 years, you're probably going to see more of a change over to more perennials and other kinds of things that are a little lower maintenance. I think you'll still see annuals and other things in certain places, but it will be probably be a different kind of thing. The other thing at Kemper is that there, of course, that beautiful trees and everything there. And there was a, they thought it was designated as an arboretum. It was not. So we have a Master Gardener, another one of the Master Gardeners that works at Kemper that is really into the trees. He and a couple of others have gone around and they have identified all of the trees, and they are in the process of hoping to apply so that will become an official arboretum. So lots of good stuff going on at Kemper. I once went, see, last year it looked a little better. See, they weren't wilting and sad. So anyway, you just saw those. There's also been gardens out at the Kenosha County Fairgrounds for a number of years. This is one where we never know what it's going to be from year to year because the Master Gardeners go to a couple of the garden centers. I think that's usually Breezy Hill and Burr Oak at the end of the season and say, "What you got?" And they donate things, so those gardens change all the time. Several years ago, Summers Town Hall, they put in a rain garden. 2 years ago, they contacted us and said, you know, our rain garden's not in such good shape. We need it renovated. It's overgrown. It's got weeds in it. It's not working right. So a small group of Master Gardener volunteers are going in and they're restoring and renovating and fixing that rain garden so it works properly. And again, it's right there at that entrance, so they're putting signage in and it's a great educational opportunity there. Then we're at all sorts of different events and things. Celebrate Earth Day. This was for Bird Day back a few years ago, so you may see Master Gardeners out and about with different displays. These two ladies have, for the past 2 or 3 years, put a display up at the Northside Library in their front and entrance, and I've always gotten really good feedback on that. So all done by the volunteers. One of our other major projects that the Master Gardener volunteers work with me, and we usually also hire someone to help out because it's such a big project, is the Spring Into Gardening Seminar. That's always the second Saturday in March. We have about 300 people that attend. It's here at the Central High School. And it's a day-long multi-session seminar, and people can choose from a variety of different topics that relate to horticulture, gardening, and environmental types of topics and things. So it's a bargain, as you can see. We get a huge turnout, so very popular. Then we also get requests from people to do programs, so it's everything from kind of a garden club or small group program to come in and talk to the kids in our school on a one-time basis and other kinds of things. So we do have a speakers bureau. We sometimes get groups that will contact us and say, you know, we need some help and information. And so we do this kind of short-term consultation with community groups. We have, of course, have clerical work that they can help with. They can help write articles for other Master Gardeners. And then there is a Racine Master Gardener organization. and we have master gardeners that are officers and other kinds of things. I'm handing out then. Our master gardener volunteer requirements are every master gardener volunteer, in order to stay a master gardener, has to donate a minimum of 24 hours a year on approved volunteer projects, and you just saw the ones in Kenosha. And they also have to get 10 hours of continuing education, because it's really critical that they have the most current information. What I've shared with you is the report that was actually put together by the state master gardener program on the master gardeners in Kenosha last year, so you see the numbers. Now, these are a little misleading because we have a Kenosha and Racine organization, and so they volunteer in either or both counties. So what you're seeing is the numbers based on the Kenosha residents, but we have Racine County residents who volunteer in Kenosha and vice versa. So there is some variation in this, but it gives you an idea of some of the things that are going on here. Any questions or anything? Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Barb. Do you want to talk a little bit about Bethany's new role?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Okay, I got some. Oh, I'm turning it over to Bethany. Thank you. So we talked about all of the work with the volunteers and how much there is time that's spent coordinating the Master Gardener volunteers, getting those requests in, can we have a Master Gardener come talk on, and all that kind of thing. And it was using a lot of time. So as I took on more at the state level, one of the things I found that I needed more than anything else was somebody to work in that coordination role with the master gardeners and with the horticulture program. So Beth took over some of that. So, and we know she's great at working with volunteers. So now she can tell you what she's been doing.
Now it's my turn. So I just been starting with Barb on this piece in March, so it's still very new to me. I've had the opportunity the month of June and July so far of attending five so far the projects. There's like 35 of them, so I still have a ways to go. But some of the ones I've gone and seen are what you've seen out there. I've gone to the hospice, I've gone to the Achievement Center. Next week I'm headed to the Kemper Center in Kenosha to check those projects out. So I'm getting a chance to see what the gardens are looking like. Hearing the stories, how they started, what's their long-term plan, what's their goals. The one thing that's always coming across is we need more help. Do you think you can find anybody else to join Master Gardeners and come help us take care of this? And because we want to do these even bigger projects and take on, which of course take a few more hands and stuff like that. I'm learning most of the projects meet almost once, if not twice a week, every week. So it's a big time commitment, and they just love it. And they just want to share so much information with you. So it's been great learning that piece. And then I've been coordinating this past month. We had six requests come in for master gardeners to give demonstrations or some type of a talk that we've been able to facilitate and get them hooked up with that. So they've been going to the companies, or they've been going to nursing homes and giving demonstration talks that way. The other thing that I'm going to be working on for Kenosha is getting master gardeners to come to the Kenosha County Fair and sit at a booth and, like you saw, give information about questions and stuff of the plants that are there or ones that they just might have as they're coming through. So next week I'll be working on coordinating master gardeners to sit there from Wednesday to Sunday. So that's part of what I've been doing. I'm going to switch hats on you now. So I'm also the 4-H program assistant. So in that role, we just finished up with 4-H camp July 17th. That was 3 days. Supervisor Aaron Decker nicely came out and worked with the Adventure Kids, and they did Ukrainian eggs. The other things we had some other Kenosha volunteer leaders come out. They did rocketry, they did foods. So we roasted marshmallows over a fire, and they had to make all these different s'mores. They brought in peppermint candies, they brought in Milky Ways, she brought all sorts of stuff. So the kids were stuffed before they had dinner, but it was good. the master gardeners also came out and taught a project for us too. So we had 30 kids and 5 adults that attended the 2 days, 2 nights, 3 days camp. So it was awesome. The other thing I'm doing, so I'm going to switch my hat again on you, is babysitter training. And that's for 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. We do take high schoolers, but the bare minimum is that they had to be in 6th grade. And what that is an opportunity for kids to learn how to babysit. So we use the American Red Cross curriculum that I'm certified in. So the kids come for 8 hours. They learn how to do a resume. They learn how to advertise correctly. They get a chance to learn how to do rescue breathing. How do you change a diaper? How do you feed a baby? How do you pick up a baby? All those different types of things. So they're here for 8 hours with me. We just had one yesterday in this very room. I have 2 more scheduled, and it's very huge need. The last one I have scheduled for this year is August 9th. I just put it up a week ago, and I already am only down to 3 slots that are being opened. And that's out without much advertising at all. So the need is huge for certified babysitters. More and more parents are looking for that extra assurance, knowing that their kids are going to be taken care of. So that pretty much wraps up my June and July. Any questions?
What is the difference between a Ukrainian egg and, say, a Romanian egg?
I'm going to have to divert that answer to Supervisor Decker because I do not know.
I don't know what a Romanian egg is.
So what's a Ukrainian
egg? A Ukrainian egg is... well, they did it back many years ago, and they used quiches.
In the old country.
Yes.
Of Ukraine. Yeah.
Yes, even before then. They use beeswax and quiches. Do you know what batik is, where you have wax relief? Okay. Wherever you put the wax, the dye... Wherever you put the wax, the dye does not go, because it's, you know, resistant. So you use a tool called a quiche, and you put wax in there, and you heat it up over a candle, and you put wax on the egg, dye it, put more wax once you color it that color, and you get layers of colors, and then you take the wax off, and that's
voila.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
And this is exactly why we have volunteers coming to teach our kids.
I know there's the nationality of the chicken.
There's also Polish eggs, which I got taught, but I'm not. Something you really need a lot of practice at, and they actually just heat up wax in like a little pot or whatever on the stove, and the woman who taught me, she used a pencil and stuck a pin in the eraser with the head of the pin sticking, and all she would do is dunk it in the wax and draw it, and it would touch, and then you'd like draw it would make kind of like a comet shape. Best way to describe it. And so she would just, with that one tool, make beautiful eggs that were like kind of fans with these things and like that. It was, those are just one color.
Yeah. I don't know if I get the
picture. No, actually, she would do them in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, but she's
old. Because you got it. Yeah, she was. I mean, she was just boom and done, and it was so pretty. But that took a lot of practice.
And again, this is giving kids experience, and this is why we ask volunteers to come in, because I cannot teach them.
I have a question. Do you have, because I was looking in the FAIR project book, do you have a gun safety project?
We do not, because we don't have anybody that's state certified. Okay. So I need to send somebody to the state 4-H certification, which is a 2-day class. And they can only get certified in that 2-day class for that particular subject. So if you wanted to do archery, you literally can only do archery that weekend. You can't add anything else. So then if you wanted to become certified,
it's only one track a year kind of thing?
You would have to go for another 2 days.
Okay.
So it's intense, which is why it's hard to get somebody certified.
Okay. I was just wondering because I saw that.
I keep trying. I keep crossing my fingers hoping I can get somebody.
Okay, well, for me, my big highlight was in June, we wrapped up just a couple of weeks ago the youth tractor safety course, which we actually had two adults this year, so
I
can't really consider.
You mean you allow adults?
We technically, we don't advertise it, but we did have two that come from, there's a corn breeder in Walworth County that wanted to send two of his employees, and we thought it probably would be good if they've never driven a tractor before to, so we do offer it to anybody that's interested, but you know, it's kind of geared towards, some of the stuff is a little, you know, we do games and activities, so I think, you know, they were 28 and 27, so we had to kind of tailor some of it to that. But anyway, so it's a 24-hour course that's required by the government to certify youth under ages 14 to 16, so those that don't have their driver's license yet, to operate farm machinery on public roads and work for farms that aren't owned by their immediate families. So we had 18 youth and then those two adults, and I think everyone but one passed, both the driving and there's a written component as well. And CNH this year and in the past has provided the tractors, so that's a big commitment from them. And also this year they provided the driving instructors for that 24-hour period. So it was a pretty big success. It was my first year teaching it, went very well, so good group of kids. In terms of upcoming events, I've got Farm Tech Days coming up. If you're not familiar with it, I've got some brochures for you. So it'll be held this year south of Lake Geneva next week, Tuesday through Thursday. So if you can make it there, it's a really good opportunity to just see, you know, what modern agriculture is really like. There's field demonstrations, there's educational activities, demonstrations provided by UW Extension, other agencies. So it's a big, huge event. Thousands of people will be there, so if you can get to it, this is probably the closest it will ever be to Kenosha County, and that's why I'm as involved as I am, because this is my opportunity to.
It definitely is, because we don't want to be the host. So
yes.
It's as close as it's ever
going
to be.
So, beautiful farm. I was out there today setting up, and yeah, if you can get out there, it's a great event.
The
good
size
food.
Is astounding.
Yeah, 70 acres of just demonstration, and then probably 80 acres of parking, 300 acres of field demonstrations. So it's going to be a big event.
We'll actually have equipment out in the fields. So
yep,
be
yep, and it's all the brand new, you know, top of the line equipment. And
if you're not a farmer, are you going to be like lost
out
there?
Oh, there's
where it's
tons
like,
of stuff to do.
Stuff.
Yeah,
in fact, they like that. I mean, they see it as a chance to educate
yep.
people who
yep.
don't
and
have.
And yeah, I mean, there's food, there's music, there's entertainment. So it's not just for farmers.
Our extension specialists are there.
Yep.
So all sorts of different things. They
got
have a weed ID thing
yep.
you can bring. They have a giant weed contest every
yep.
year.
There will be a big, if you're interested in poultry, there's going to be a whole poultry.
Raising your own chickens.
Yeah, demonstration or set up booth there. So yeah, lots of good stuff this year.
Yep. There's a youth tent.
Yep, there's a youth tent. There's an equine tent if you're into horses. They've got stuff going on all day. So it's pretty big event. Another event I'm on the planning board for is the UW Extension Day at the State Fair, which we had our first one last year, went very well. We're doing another day this year, August 9th at the State Fair. So again, if you're thinking of going to the State Fair, try to go on August 9th. We'll be there from 9 to about 4. And again, it's just a bunch of demonstrations and booths and exhibits from UW Extension specialists. There's a stage with performances that we'll have there as well. So that's coming up on August 9th. And then finally, the Farm Fresh Atlas is having a fundraiser this weekend at Brighton Woods Orchard. If you've never been out there, it's a beautiful spot. So if you have some time this weekend to get out there, tickets are $75, but it goes to support the Farm Fresh Atlas, which is becoming a more independent organization while Extension pulls back a little bit, so they need a little help. Any questions?
How does this farmer afford to take, what was it, 450 acres offline?
Well, it's...
He must get compensated. He's got to.
I think they get compensated for seed that's used in the demonstrations, but in many ways it's a promotional piece for them, not that they really, you know, they're not direct marketing the product, so, but they're not, they used to have a house built for them in the past.
Oh, did they? I never heard that.
But yeah, I think, I mean, there's got to be some compensation. I'm not sure exactly how it works out. But yeah, it is a huge commitment. The farms really have to be up to the challenge.
Not only the farms from the counties, the host counties,
yep.
And they rotate throughout.
Yep, and there's about 1,500 volunteers that put this thing on. So it's a big event.
If you time it right, you could see your horticulture educator doing the dairy tour. You're a tour guide.
So I will be running the pedal pool on Thursday. The little pedal pool for kids on Thursday, I will be there.
Will
so
be
we're all taking our
turn. Tractor pool, because those are quite fun. Those are quite fun.
I don't think so.
Just
a little.
Just a little kid one.
Okay.
Leg power.
Okay, I'll go on. Mm-hmm. Next Generation Cooperative Extension's reorganization update. I will report that work groups are now functioning. There are approximately 8 to 10 of them across the state. I am currently working on the county and tribal organizational structure work group. That's the work group that's going to provide the recommendations around the county structure. So staffing levels, what the roles will be, and the responsibilities across counties and regions as that moves forward. Each of the work groups have had charters, this very sort of regimented, this group shall be doing this, and these are your deliverables that you're going to be expected to do. We started meeting last week, and we are now on track to having a meeting a week. So it's going to be a very intense process. And at the same time, I can tell you that it's going to be drawn out in such that we don't expect any changes in this next fiscal year at all. So budgetarily, we're going to be submitting a budget at 2016 levels. I can also tell you that for the Kenosha Racine Connection, I've mentioned to you that August 29th, is going to be a joint meeting with you as the Kenosha County Extension Committee and the Racine County Committee. And we're going to meet here at the Kenosha County Center. So in lieu of that, your August 10th meeting for PDEC, we won't meet at 6 o'clock. There's no reason for you to come at 6, and we'll assume our extension portion of your August meeting is the 29th. So you'll just need to come at 7 o'clock for the PDEC portion of the meeting. But we're going to start talking about what will we look like in a combined scenario with Kenosha and Racine. We have enough open positions between the two counties. We've got to start moving. We got to start making these decisions. Okay. Now to do my director update. I'm going to give you a copy of a letter that was sent to you as a member of the Kenosha Extension Committee. From your statewide organization called WASAC. That's the Wisconsin Associated County Extension Committees. The supervisors. The state is divided into regions, and the extension committees across the state have their own organizational structure in each region. And you, as a Kenosha committee, are part of the East Metro region. And they, the first vice president is sending you a letter indicating that they do not have enough interest in people to be officers, and there's the letter. So I'll just share that with you. I also need to share with you that Kristen Lee had been serving in our office as the communications and educational support specialist, and the long faces you see are that we're very disappointed that she has resigned. She took a position in Milwaukee, and she left us last month, so we're all very disappointed about that. I am currently working with county personnel to figure out how to repost that position and get in the process for refilling it. I also can tell you that Jeannie Halisky Christensen, as Barb was mentioning, she was our consumer horticulture educator. Her efforts in the getting our All-American Display Garden going, she has made a decision to resign her position in Kenosha, and she's now working only in the Racine County Extension Office. She wanted to reduce her hours. She wanted to have a little more balance in her life. And so she's made a decision to only be in Racine County. So when I say we have holes to fill, we have holes to fill. We need to move forward in rebuilding our team. You saw, if you saw any of my pictures on Facebook, that we had our youth and governance bus tour last month. Bethany and I took all 14 youth, and one county board supervisor joined us, Supervisor Andy Berg. Joined us for most of the day,
And we visit almost every building in the county government structure. We don't get to all of them, but they get an opportunity to immerse themselves in what county government does. So I'm going to ask Mikkel, if she, from her perspective, how was the day?
Long. I mean, it was really interesting. We got to see a lot of things that a lot of other people probably aren't able to see, like the dispatch room and all that. That was probably my favorite part.
Talk about the courtroom. We walked into Judge Mary Wagner's courtroom. What was happening?
I'm not going to talk about the case.
Yeah, no, that's right. Okay. Although it's public. It was public. It's open to the public.
She was probably scolding somebody, I'm sure.
No, she was actually really nice. Everybody really liked her. Yeah, they were actually in session, and they had released like the jury to talk.
To deliberate?
That's the thing.
We saw the end of the questioning, right? We were able to witness the prosecutor to ask questions of which was, in this case, the defendant. Am I saying the right word? Courtroom language.
There's two of them, remember?
Yeah. There's two, but we didn't know that at the beginning. The other gentleman was on the side, but yeah, they were in cahoots together, so the trial was together. Very interesting process for these young. I mean, we walked in and everybody's eyeballs get real big, you know, because they're all in session. And as both attorneys wrapped up and determined they had no more question and they were ready to rest, then it was time for the judge to give directions to the jury. And that part was also very interesting. And as soon as she dismissed that, then she sort of gets up on her bench and says, "But youth and governance, youth, I just love you." And this is a question that just pours out of her heart to. She did help us start the program, so it was quite interesting. But it is an incredible behind-the-scenes opportunity for the youth to just really step in, see some things that I tell them most county, some supervisors have never even seen, or certainly most county residents have never seen, you know, how things are done. So it's a great opportunity. Hopefully it helps give them a better perspective as they sit on their committees as well. So I want to share that I have been facilitating a process with our local food pantries in Kenosha County to help determine what improvements we need to make in our food distribution systems in Kenosha County. We have approximately 8 food pantries, and they're all over Kenosha County doing things in all different manners and distribution ways. So we invited the Hunger Task Force out of Milwaukee to do a review of our distribution systems and review all the food pantries. So they came down in April, May, and June and visited all the food pantries and provided recommendations for what we could do different and better. And their recommendation is that Kenosha County should consider establishing a food bank. Now, a food bank is one central location where all donations are given in a bank. And then as a food bank, the food is redistributed back out to the pantries based upon how much need there is in the pantry. So the whole idea is that all the pantries then aren't needing to go after all the food donations independently. It can all be done in a central location. Racine County has had a food bank for many years, and so we are going to actually visit them in August. We're going to go up to Racine and visit the food bank. And then I have a meeting later this month with the county executive and John Jansen, Director of Human Services, to kind of talk about, here's what the report said, here's the feedback from the food pantries, what are some steps to move forward, what might we do differently. So I'll keep you posted on to how where that's going. And then lastly, I want to announce a really great piece of good news. Barb is being recognized by the National Association of County Agricultural Agents across the country. She has been she's been selected by her peers here in Wisconsin as the Distinguished Service Award. So she's the one Distinguished Service Educator through the state here that will be recognized in Little Rock, Arkansas in July.
In 2 weeks.
The heat of the summer, she will be in Little Rock receiving her award. So help me in congratulating with Barb. It is quite an honor, so it's a great opportunity for Barb. So that's great to recognize her good work. And I will also just say, it isn't always common for a horticulture educator to be recognized by the agricultural educators in their association. So that's even a more bonus. So that's awesome. That's good. And that's it for UW Extensions.
Okay.
So remember, next month, August meeting will be the 29th. There won't be the meeting on
at 6.
At 6 o'clock with Racine County. We'll send out, it'll be a posted meeting as it always is. We'll send out the agenda, but it'll be a combination meeting with the members from Racine County.
Here or up in the
Here. Center? Yeah, we're going to, right here, and we're going to host.
Okay. We will move to the other room.
Motion to adjourn.